All right, guys. Almost forgot the opening there. Little delay. That's okay. We made it.
I can do more weather if you want.
We got it in time, right? That worked out.
Felt really good about that.
It's perfect October weather.
Thank you.
It is. It's beautiful out. I love it being a little cooler outside. Windows open. It's phenomenal. I've only got three questions for you today. I don't know. It felt mostly Olympic-y, and we're hitting a lot of other places. So we're only going to do three quick questions. So we'll start with you, Pete. We are at the end of the Olympic Games. I have it on TV right now. They're bringing out some medals for the women's basketball team. The closing ceremonies are this afternoon, I believe, and we will officially see you in 4 years in Los Angeles. The next Summer Olympics are going to be in the United States in Los Angeles. It'll be interesting to see how those goes. It's going to be hard to top Paris, though. I mean, some of those venues in Paris, can you imagine the difference between L.A. and Paris, having the Eiffel Tower in the background, and L.A. is just going to be, I don't know, a scrapyard?
Smog cloud.
Yeah. Smog. It'll be good. It'll be fun, you know. Great. Go to an event. It'll be cool. But whatever. My question, though, Pete, retrospective on the Olympics. What was your favorite part? You watched some of it. I'm sure nobody caught all of it. But what was your favorite thing that you saw during these Olympic Games?
The domination, absolute domination of the USA in track and field. And whether it's the field events with shot put and all the rest of it and discus, and it just absolutely amazing how athletic people have become. And it every 4 years, it's magical because they're better than the previous. Look at all of the record breaking running and hurdling and all of that. Absolutely incredible, and it blew me away. And I'll tell you, I love the passion of our folks. They are so passionate about what they're doing, and commitment is unbelievable that people don't even have any idea or realize about it. So I'm going to say the track and field stole me. Yeah. Every time I'd see anything in that genre or whatever, I would jump and just be excited.
Was there any particular one or just kind of everything?
Oh, I was a hurdler, so the guy, the 110-meter hurdles, I think some of those relays really catch you, too, because, you know, now it's not just you against the world, it's your team against the world, and not always works. And as a matter of fact, once again, the men in the 4x100, we dropped the baton. You know, we didn't run well, and we just ran up each other's back, and we had missed. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work, but... Man, I'll tell you, it's super exciting just to see the athleticism of our people.
Dave, you got anything?
You know what? I'm going to go track and field as well.
Not just breaking?
No, not breaking. I was so impressed with, I loved watching Kenny Bednarik. I loved watching Noah Lyles. Sha'Carri Richardson, and you're going to have to correct, because I think it was the end of the relay, or maybe it was just a sprint, where she takes off and she looks over and she sees like the camera. I think it was an individual event. But those sprinters are I mean, if ever there was a time where you thought someone is born specifically for this skill, they are so impressive how fast they can go. I mean, I tore my hamstring just watching them. It was amazing. How fast they are. And you know, Noah Lyles is running and he had COVID 2 days before. It's incredible. I'm really in awe of all of it. You know, Simone Biles, and, you know, when she jumps and does her triple twist flip, gets 12 feet in the air. Like, are we the same human being? I don't even know how that happens. So it's just, I love just these extraordinary experiences from now. And, you know, the most interesting thing that David Plummer said last week, like, now as of Sunday, August 11th, for the last 2.5 weeks, you were rock stars. And now tomorrow morning, or maybe Wednesday morning, time to clock in and go back to work, you know, and it's all over. And so I love the Olympics. I always have. I loved covering them. I love watching them. And it's fun to see.
Yeah. Well, next one, we'll have a better chance of a lot of local people that are going to be able to actually attend some of these events. I think I'm going to try to get to LA in 4 years. Why not, right?
Yeah.
How many opportunities
if you
got?
Spend the entire time in your car. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh,
Can you imagine how bad traffic's going to be?
Didn't you see they announced the venues are going to be public transit only?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, I didn't see
that. Yeah, you can't drive.
That's good.
You can't drive to them. It's going to be only public transit to get to those stadiums.
Good. Yeah.
It'll be good if it, you know, they figure out how to do the public transit. Then
until Tom Cruise wants to go watch, and then they're going to let him drive.
Well, sure. You know, there's always outliers. All right, we'll move on here. Dave, the Twins got a slew of bad injury news this week as it was announced. One, Brooks Lee, he's going to be injured for a little bit. But two, the real biggie was Joe Ryan, who had a more serious injury than they expected. They're not saying he's out for the season yet, but signs seem to point that way, at the very least being out for the regular season, particularly, you know, if they make – I don't know. It's not a good injury. He's going to be out for a while. That's going to leave pretty much two spots now at the bottom of the Twins rotation that's going to have to be filled, and somebody's going to have to step up. Some of the names you're likely to see are going to be more of David Festa, who had a great start his last time out, a top prospect for the Twins. Louis Varland, who we know well, has been in the bullpen now and again, but will be starting some games again for the Twins going forward. And the other name that's going to pop up quite a bit, and you know, TBD on if we really see him, but it seems likely, especially with this injury, it's going to be Zebby Matthews. You know, his name is Zebby. Zebby Matthews. He's another one of the Twins' top pitching prospects. He'll likely get some work in here. TBD, don't know for sure. Who are you most excited to see? Who do you have the most confidence in out of the bottom of this rotation going forward?
Well, I mean, I like what Simeon Woods Richardson, other than just a couple of pitches. I think it was yesterday that he threw out there. But I like that he's kind of come on here, had a pretty decent second half. But I will tell you that losing, you got Joe Ryan, you got Paddock, right? He's out as well. I mean,
he's not
your rotation,
seeming like he's going to be back anytime soon.
Yeah, your rotation is hurting. And, you know, we've talked about it. That's the challenge when you say the guys on this, you know, the guys that are going to help us win at the trade deadline, the guys that are going to help us win are the guys in this locker room. Well, you didn't go out and get anybody except, you know, a reliever. And so now your rotation is decimated immediately with two injuries. And so, you know, that it's a good theory, and I will listen, I'll be the first one to say that I bought into it, all right? I said, hey, the guys in this locker room are here. Well, guess what? Now you don't have Joe Ryan or Chris Paddock, and now you're in a lot of trouble. And now what are you going to do? Because you didn't go out and get, as you said, Charlie, a third starter. Someone else to help you in that rotation should, and inevitably when injuries happen. So now it bit him in the butt. Can they continue to move forward? They had a nice day Friday, not as good yesterday. And the schedule coming down the stretch, there's a lot of winnable games. But are they too hurt? It's tough. I mean, they flew too close to the sun, and it seems as if they may have gotten their wings burned a little bit.
We'll get back to that point later, Dave, because I think you're absolutely wrong about them struggling.
There's a shock.
But, yeah, you've got – so now, I mean, going forward, right, you've got Woods Richardson, you've got Festa, you've got Varland, Lopez, Ober probably. Another name that was thrown out there, Dan Hayes of The Athletic, who we've had on previously throughout, that the Twins are showing a little bit of interest in Rich Hill, the 44-year-old former Twin who's been all around Major League Baseball. He wants to pitch for a contender down the stretch, and the Twins could use any depth they can right now. So
if you're hanging your season on a 44-year-old,
I don't think anybody's hanging their season on it. I think that everybody can use depth. I don't know if hanging the season on Rich Hill becoming a great starter is anything. No, he would be a 5 or 6 starter for a little while.
Did you ever
while.
See the movie The Rookie with Dennis Quaid? Yeah. Is there one of those guys out there anywhere?
That was real. That was real.
That's Rich Hill.
I know.
Yeah, that's him. You just described Rich Hill, so
we'll see.
No, it's no reason to panic, in my opinion. But we can get back to it later. Pete, you got anything to add?
Well, the only thing I'd say is going into the trade deadline, that was one of the things that I really wanted us to do was grab a pitcher. And it's not looking back. I mean, we said it at the time. It's like, you know, it doesn't really have to affect the team in any negative way. If anything, it's going to give us a positive. We didn't do that. We didn't do anything, like you said, Dave. We had one pitcher who's is, I don't know how deep on the roster he really is, but the reality is that's what we needed, and we didn't go there. And so, you know, I think we're going to still be a team that probably gets into the postseason and everything, but what are our chances once we get there, right? I mean, when you look at what our lineup looks like, and now it's gotten decimated, obviously, with injuries, we didn't know that was going to happen, but I would say even without that, we were struggling in terms of beating teams with good records. We didn't do much of that. We still haven't done much of that. And we are beating a lot of the teams that don't have great records. So I don't think you last very long in the postseason unless you've got some pitching, and we've got to start beating teams with winning records.
I mean, yes and no on the pitching. Once you get, if you get to the postseason, you're only using three pitchers. You know, you're only using three starters, and you got Lopez and you got Ober as a 1-2, and you got Woods Richardson, honestly, maybe as a number three, or if somebody else really starts to show something, maybe David Festa. So I'm not as concerned.
But we're not going to be playing the White Sox.
And no,
we're
not of course
gonna
not.
Be, you know what I mean? I mean, that's where I'm going with it. We are reduced down, and we're going to have to play up. And can we do that? What if any of those three suddenly they have a bad second inning, and all of a sudden you're starting to looking around, and you're like, what are we going to do here? You know, that's the problem. Is you've got to have that kind of depth in baseball. You guys know better than anybody, Charlie. I know you know the sport so well, mm-hmm. but you got to have some depth, and we just don't have it right now.
Yeah, we'll see where things go. I mean, they swept Cleveland the other day. I mean, obviously they lost last night 2-1. Offense didn't come together, but they've been beating Cleveland. Cleveland's looking really rough again. We're going to talk a little bit more Twins baseball, I think, later on in the show. But we'll move on to my last question here. I think it's back to Pete. Uh-oh. Pete, we're officially into the football season, as we've already talked about. We already talked about J.J. McCarthy. We're going to talk more football next hour with Alec Lewis of The Athletic. But I was perusing games and stat lines that were not the Vikings the other day, Pete. And a couple names that stood out that I know you really like, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, both look pretty impressive quarterback in their new teams. My question, Pete, we're pretty much through, I don't know, like one preseason week as far as games go. I think there's a couple more today, but for the most part, we're through a week. We've seen some of these guys out there. Who's been really impressive to you so far in the preseason that is not on the Vikings?
Yeah, you brought up one of them right away for me, which is Jaden Daniels. I thought the world of that kid. I thought he was probably the best quarterback in the entire draft, and I still stick by that. I think Caleb Williams is fine. He went to the right team. They've got receivers. They've got they put him in a great position to win, and he will start. So I think Jaden Daniels. It's a terrible football team, but of the quarterbacks so far, he really does stand out, and I really like. I love the kid. I thought he did an amazing job in you know, his college career, moving different teams and different schools. But I think he is ready for the NFL. He's thin, and he's going to have to work on trying to stay healthy. But that's a guy who looks pretty daggone ready for the NFL.
Yeah, I worry about his legs. They're just so skinny. I mean, just skinny. One little thing gets rolled up under there. I'm like, man. But he looked impressive in that first game. He was 2-3 on the drive. He had a rushing touchdown. He looked pretty good. Anybody else, or do we want to throw it over to Dave if anybody's
Throw it over out? To Dave. Yeah, that's
I actually
preseason.
Was going to say, did you see that? So Jaden Daniels, because I watched some of the highlights, he threw a really like a bomb at one point, but that was not what the play called for. So he basically called an audible at the line and called an all go route for everybody. And then it worked. You know, I don't remember if he got a touchdown or a first down out of it, but basically he's like, hey, coaches tell me that if I see something that I, you know, that I need to change, I can change it. And then Dan Quinn's like, yeah. Maybe not that. He wasn't exactly supposed to do that, and he did it anyway. So, you know, it's not really the way to go. Here it is. Daniel says, yeah, I mean, it's something we thought in practices throughout the time I've been here. Cliff Kingsbury was like, hey, if you don't like this look, then check it. Dan Quinn said, I thought of Top Gun, Quinn said. Do I have permission to buzz the tower? No, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
I mean, it's a preseason game. Let the kids sling it, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I just love the – yeah, I was supposed to do that. Dan Quinn's like, eh, no, you don't.
Hey, one last guy I will throw out there, though, to you, Joe Milton. You know, he's been getting talked about a little bit more and a little bit more. Everybody talks about Drake May. I thought last year Drake May had taken a step back from his freshman year. And I look at Joe Milton with the physical ability to do everything. And he did such a great job in college at Michigan. I watched him against our Gophers strike us down pretty good. And the guy just is amazing, I think. And a Tennessee guy. And he went very, very late. I can't remember how late it was, fifth or sixth round, something like that. But I've been hearing more and more positive things about what he looks like so far in camp and what he looks like as a physical specimen. He is special.
All right, that's all I got for you guys. We'll head into break here as we're getting close to the end of the hour.
Yeah, come back, talk a little St. Thomas football. Pete, you were out there yesterday. We'll get the news and notes coming up next.